for Thursday, September 17th. Our first item on the agenda first is to excuse the mayor, who is out of town, and council member Summers, who is unable to be here because of work conflict. So we will now continue with item one, which is to review the agenda for our September 21st council meeting. Do we have any questions on page two? Page three. Page four. Well, that was nice and easy. Let's move on to item two, which is to hear a presentation on property liability and aviation insurance, our renewals for this year.
Good morning, Vice Mayor, Council. With me, I have Barry Hegrenis, our claims specialist, and we also have our insurance brokers in the audience in case you have any questions for them as we go through the presentation. Every November, we renew our insurance for liability, property insurance, and aviation insurance. So we are about to go out to bid and seek bids for this year's renewals. So we're coming to you to seek direction regarding what type of insurance levels we should have, the excess liability insurance levels, what type of deductibles or self-insurance we should keep. As you know, the Property and Public Liability Trust Fund, that is a trust fund established through the charter, and it's funded by the general fund, and the disbursements from this fund go towards paying all the liability and claims and cases. It pays for the employees that defend those cases, and it also pays for the insurance premiums. And you can see from this chart the amount that the City of Mesa has paid in the last 7 years for insurance premiums. Now, this chart shows all three combined, the premiums for liability, property, and aviation insurance. This chart shows how much we have paid out in claims and cases over the last several years. Typically, Mesa pays between $1 million and $1.5 million for all of the claims that are resolved in a given year. We've had, in 2 years, we've had higher amounts, obviously. Those are mainly because of one case per year that have been high exposure cases. In fiscal year 08-09, we were well below average. We paid out a total of about $800,000 for liability claims in that year. Now we're going to talk about what insurance we're going to renew and what we currently have and what we're recommending when we go out to bid. First, for the excess liability insurance, and this is third-party liability claims. So if someone sues the city because they're claiming that a city employee was negligent or that they were injured on city property, this type of insurance would apply. We have a $2 million self-insured retention level, which means the City of Mesa is self-insured for the first $2 million of each claim that is submitted. Above $2 million, we have excess liability insurance, and that the policy limit for our excess coverage is $35 million. So if a claim were to come in above $35 million, again, the City of Mesa would be responsible for paying that. So that is our current coverage. What we are recommending is that we retain the $2 million self-insured retention level, but that we seek bids not only at $35 million policy limit, but also $45 million of insurance. And we're recommending this because as we look at the other cities, we're towards the bottom end of what is our insurance level. So we're going to recommend at this point we go out and we ask for $10 million more of insurance just to see is it cost beneficial to the City of Mesa. Obviously, when we receive all these bids, we'll come back to the council and it will be council's decision whether to go with $35 million or $45 million. Next is the property insurance. So this covers all property damage for the City of Mesa property that might be damaged. We have approximately $730 million in property assets. That's our best estimate. Our current coverage is that we have a $50,000 deductible if property damage occurs, and we have a $200 million per occurrence policy limit. So again, if a major incident happened and a city facility were damaged, we would be covered up to $200 million for that occurrence. What we are recommending is that we seek bids with a deductible of $50,000 and $100,000, and that we look at policy limits per occurrence of $250 million and $300 million. And our insurance brokers recommend that we increase our policy limits a little bit because of the amount of assets we have. So to ensure proper insurance, we're recommending that we move from a $200 million, what we have now, to bids of $250 and $300 million. Next is airport liability, and the airport or aviation insurance is really for Falcon Field. The airport liability insurance covers third-party liability claims that arise from airport operations, whether it's somebody slipping and falling at the terminal there, or if it's a claim of improper maintenance of the runway and there's either property damage or personal injury liability. We currently have a deductible of zero, so the insurance coverage covers any claim that occurs out at Falcon Field now, and we have coverage up to $50 million per occurrence. And last year, we actually went out and we looked at, well, should we increase the deductible to $1 million? How much would the City of Mesa save in premiums? The savings were actually negligible, so we have very good and very inexpensive, relatively speaking, premiums for our airport liability. So when we go out to bid this year, we're recommending that we stay at a zero deductible, and we look at policy limits of $50 million and $100 million per occurrence. Aircraft hull and liability insurance. Now, the aircraft hull insurance covers the city's aircraft and equipment for property damage loss. This is the police aircraft out at Falcon Field. And the aircraft liability insurance covers third-party claims arising from the aircraft operations. So if a police aircraft were to be involved in an accident and the claim is that it was our police officer or the pilot that was responsible, any damage or liability resulting from that would be covered from this insurance. Here you can see for aircraft hull, which is the equipment in the aircraft, we have a deductible of $25,000 if the aircraft's in motion and $1,000 deductible if it's not in motion. And our policy limits is the stated value of the aircraft. For the aircraft liability, we have a zero deductible and a $50 million per occurrence policy limit. And we are recommending that we stay with those parameters for this coming year. So we'll be going out to bid in the next few weeks, and if council has any questions, or certainly if you want to change the variables, we can change the variables.
Just a quick question about in motion and not in motion. What does that mean? I mean, if
on the ground or in the air?
No, well, I know that, but like if it's parked and the wind blows it, is it in motion or not in motion? I'm just trying to get a sense of what that means.
I think Vice Mayor Jones, I heard him mumbling under his breath, and he was correct. It's basically once the aircraft takes off from the land and is being operated by a pilot, it's considered in motion. So once the engine is cranked up, it's in motion. If the engine is not cranked up, if it's sitting stable, then it's not in motion. So if the wind blew it and it was not manned, as it were, it would be a not in motion type claim.
So what we're looking at here is basically how to proceed as far as obtaining the bids. We've looked at what we've done in the past, our history, and if anybody has any variation from the recommendation from staff, because when it comes back, we'll know more when they get the bids, and then we'll make a determination of what coverage we're actually going to take.
That's correct, Vice Mayor.
Said a couple.
Alex, go ahead.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. A couple quick questions. On the self-insured retention, I know we have a fund that's there. Approximately how much is that fund that we keep on as a contingency fund, or what's the proper term? And then my second question would be, what kind of budget commitment is used on an ongoing year-to-year basis to maintain that fund? And where I'm getting with these questions is, what's the rationale or criteria? I know it's a pretty significant fund, and I don't know what the ongoing budget commitment is, but knowing that we have a pretty long history of knowing usually what happens and what our liabilities are, is there any opportunity to look at how much we keep in that fund or how much we commit to it? So that's where I'm coming from.
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Finter, we have approximately $11 million in the fund. I'm looking for Chuck. He'll know the figure better than I do right now, but it's typically around $11
million. Well, what we've done is we've set a target of $12 million to be kind of a 2 to 3 year coverage factor in case we have a high year. And the way we do is a constant budget fund factor of $3.5 to $4 million a year to keep it at that. So, yes, it'll vary between 11 and 12 so that we don't give a shock to the budget system. We kind of keep a level commitment to it to try to target $12 million on average.
And Debbie or Barry, why don't you explain, too, that what we do is reserve out amounts for claims that are made. Well, we may not pay them out. The reason we keep such a high amount is we may get a claim. I'll let you guys explain and how that process works.
Yes, we're required to, similar to an insurance company, when a claim comes in, we have to set a reserve. If we think there is liability or we think there's potential liability, we set a reserve. So we are identifying a portion of the trust fund for payment to this claim. Now, the actual payment could come in less than that, in which case the money obviously is, again, goes back to the fund. Or it could come in above that. But we are constantly adjusting those reserves based on the evidence we have before us today. What do we think the value of that claim is? So a lot of that trust fund is reserved based on claims. And also, there is an actuarial process that goes on that says, okay, the claim may not be here now, but based on your loss, here's what you would be expected to incur into the future. And we have an outside firm that actually does that actuarial review and analysis for us.
So, Mayor and Council, what that helps us do is determine that $11 to $12 million reserve amount, that fund, then that may represent not just what's happening in any 1 year. It could, because claims can take multiple years or not lots of years, but more than one, to finally determine, we still have to reserve that amount out at the beginning of the process in the claim. So we kind of adjust that over time, but we do need to have enough in the reserve to be able to at least have enough to pay out each year, plus we have to reserve against claims that have been made, even though they may not be completely determined for some period of time out in the future. And so when we do our actuarial studies, it helps us to assess whether we've reserved enough each year. And that's something that, how often do we do that? Annually?
So
that's how we determine how to set this fund number up. And does that number also include, Chuck, the as Debbie was talking in the beginning, the cost for
For the insurance payment?
No, not the payment, but for the people.
The staffing. Yes,
that's
it
included
does.
In there, too. So.
For the administrative staff related to the self-insurance fund are included in that, correct?
Very good. Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then we'll hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Dennis?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. On Tuesday, I attended a class at Arizona State University in their planning department. Arizona State has undertaken a project to review the Fiesta District to work with the city to assist us in design issues, zoning issues, economic development issues, and it's taken on as a class project for this semester. So last week, city staff from our economic development department presented to them. I did it this week. Ultimately, the professor and the class are hoping to make presentations to our planning and zoning board later this year and hopefully to the council at a study session regarding the work that they've done and the suggestions they may have for us as we continue to review that area of the city. Thank you.
Dave? Alex?
Tonight is the kickoff for District 2 Building Strong Neighborhoods. It will be held at 1345 East University at the LDS Church there. We're looking forward to a great event, and we have Garcia's that's providing the food. We're hoping that that area, that surrounding area, La Zona area, will come out in force and be able to see the great things that we're going to do in November in service and clean up in District 2.
And food always seems to be a draw.
So
that's good. All right. Nina, do you have anything? Okay. Tuesday evening, I represented the city at a memorial service for Balbirsing Saudi, who was shot right after the 9/11 because of the turban he was wearing. And the family and friends have a memorial each year, and I was privileged to go be a part of that Tuesday evening. Also yesterday, our light rail board meeting, we approved an agreement with the Phoenix Suns and the U.S. Airways Center where we will receive a portion of the ticket cost to go towards light rail, meaning they've averaged out what they think is the approximate number of folks who are riding the light rail who go to games. And to balance that out, now those who go to games, if they just show their ticket for the game, they could ride the light rail on that day, 4 hours before and until closing after the game. And doing so, we actually get revenue from every ticket sold for the game. We get 31 cents per ticket, which they figure will balance the cost of how many people ride the rail. So it's a really good deal. It's guaranteed income for the light rail. So that was our meeting yesterday, and do we have anything else? Then Mr. Brady, scheduling the meetings.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just a reminder to council that on Monday, the 21st, we have a public safety committee meeting that will begin at 3:30, and then, of course, we will then have our regular study session and council meeting that night. And reminder that on the 22nd, the mayor will be having his community conversation, and this, I believe, is at the Dobson Ranch. It's the La Casita Community Center, and that'll begin. The reception begins at 6 p.m., a presentation at 6:30 p.m. And just also a reminder, not this a week from this Saturday, Saturday, September 26th, is the National Emergency Preparedness Fair that, for 2009. It'll be at, as it was last year, it'll be at the Riverview's Bass Pro Shops, and it goes from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be a lot of good information about preparedness from several departments and other affiliates that we work with. Thank you.
Very good. Ms. Crocker, do we have any citizens wishing to speak?
No requests, Vice Mayor.
And then entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Everybody have a wonderful day.